Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I am Judy Davis, and I'm here with my co-host, Sandy Fowler. And today, we are talking about money. This is, I don't know if it's ever not been a hot topic but it is so important right now. And, you know, as parents, we're supposed to be wise about money and finance and teach our kids how to handle it. And the reality is we probably don't. And oftentimes we just don't have those skills ourselves. I know that the way we handle money now after being married for going on 27 years is very different than how we managed it years ago. And we actually got in a lot of trouble. We lost everything and had to start from scratch about, you know, 15 years into our marriage. And looking back at all the mistakes we made, we decided in that moment when we started to crawl out of the hole that we had created for ourselves was to share that process and how we got to where we were and what we were doing and the steps we were taking, and really had our kids invested in helping them realize the difference between wants and needs. And I know we'll get into all of that, but as a result of being very open about where we were, our kids learned skills that they now use when they're out on their own.
And I think what you said there, Judy, is a key piece of this is just being honest and straightforward with your kids and showing them what you know. But that's a problem too, because I know in talking with parents, there's so many who either don't know, like you said, or they don't know where to start teaching their kids about money. I was fortunate that I have a mom who worked in accounting and is extremely detail-oriented, so she definitely taught us money skills. But when I think back, you know, it wasn't a huge deal. It wasn't a big time-consuming process or something she made a point of sitting down and having a big conversation or something we had to check off a chore list or do every day. It was just something that happened, that was part of life. Like, she kind of included us in it. So it is something that you can start teaching your teen without it having to be a Herculean task, no matter where you're at. And we're going to get great info and great advice from today's guest. I've worked with her before and had a great time doing that. Her name is Patty Handy, and she is a leading mortgage professional in the California market. And one of the reasons she's so successful at that is that she truly works at helping her clients make good financial choices. And toward that end, she offers, in addition to her mortgage services, she offers financial education to young adults and those who are starting over after divorce. So, Patty, thank you so much. You know, pulling from all that personal experience, you've created some great products, and thanks so much for coming here to Mighty Parenting today and sharing it all with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So, I want to start today with talking about our teens and money. And, you know, I know where you're at now, and I know that there was a time where your main focus was teens and you were the teen cash coach. And so I know you had a lot of experience there. So in that experience, I'm curious what you saw as the most common money issue that teens face.
You know, it's a great question. I've done various workshops and speaking with teens, and have worked with someone one-on-one. And I think some of the biggest issues is the parents just don't have conversations with their kids, so they don't have the tools. They're not given the opportunity to learn about this, you know, a debit card versus a credit card. They don't have the opportunity to go out and make their own money and learn how to spend their money and be responsible for their own expenses and just be that independent. So it really starts with a simple conversation. It sounds like it's a monumental task, like you were saying, but it really isn't. But I think, yeah, kids are just not given the opportunity. Mom and dad just hand them, you know, a 20 when they want to go to the movies. And they don't go, you know what, if you want to go to the movies, you need to figure out a way to make your own money and pay for it yourself. And some of those things aren't being done for the most part. And so what we're seeing and what I've seen is kids just don't have the tools because they were never given that opportunity. Because as parents, it's much easier to say, here's a 20 than it is to sit down and have a conversation about how you have to go back, you know, make it yourself. One thing I do want to make a comment. You had mentioned that your mom, you know, we didn't sit down and have this big, you know, okay, here's what we're going to talk about today. It's about money. I came from a very similar situation. I came from a family with five kids. We didn't really sit down and have this big conversation about, okay, you're going to go make your own money. My parents just made me responsible for if I wanted something, it was up to me to find a way to make the money to get it. Just it encouraged independence and it encouraged me to go out and figure out ways to get money. So I didn't like it at the time. I was like, oh, come on. Everyone else is getting money from their mom. But right. It was, you know, in hindsight, it was a huge gift.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are the central lessons, I guess, or the main things that we should be touching on and educating our kids about? Are there certain key things?
Well, there are several. You know, first and foremost, I think it's really important that we teach our kids how to respect money, how hard it is to earn it, and how important it is to save it. And with that, again, there's various different arms to this whole tree, but, you know, within the saving piece, learning how to save and how to make that automated, and that is important. The power of compound interest. If you save young, you know, this much per month, here's how it can grow. They don't realize that, oh my gosh, if I just put 10 bucks, you know, a month away, here's what I'll have in 10 years. It's the emotional spending, you know, oh, my friend just bought a new pair of these shoes I want. I'm going to go get them too. You know, you got to step back and go, wait a minute. Is this something that I want or I need? Is there a peer pressure at school that's making me having to go do this? Is this really in my best interest? So some of those things should be tackled in conversation. I think, you know, when your child is young enough to be able to get a credit card and an account, a savings account, a checking account, it's important that they realize debit card versus credit card and those differences. I mean, there's so many pieces. It's not only one thing, but starting to just teach them the power of money, and not in the sense of, oh, I can go buy a new car or, you know, stuff. It's not about that. It's about financial freedom and what does that look like and options and choices that money gives you. I'm a real advocate about not educating people about money because they want to acquire stuff. That's, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. That's a very, very dangerous, unhealthy place to be. It's really about just having financial peace of mind. So, you know, it's a long answer to your question, but there's so many topics that, you know, should be discussed with kids, but that's just a snippet of some of the key ones.
So for the parent of a teenager, and mm-hmm. we have never dealt with this at all, you know, and maybe we just hand them the cash when they're going someplace and they need mm-hmm. spending money or whatever. If we're listening to this and going, oh, I really need to change this, where do we start? Because you said, you know, it doesn't have to be all at once and it doesn't have to be this huge thing. Well, how do we break it down? What's that first bite of the elephant?
I would say to sit down with your child or teen and to say, hey, it's now time to really give you some life skills that are going to really be very valuable to you. And part of that is teaching you how to be responsible for your own expenses and be responsible for your own funds. So if they don't have a job, you can help them, guide them to get a job. If they're too young to get a job, like they're 13, 14 years old, give them an opportunity to create their own business. My son was walking dogs and making more than minimum wage, walking our neighborhood dogs, and it was all cash, you know. So there's ways, you know, to tap into their talents and skills and their you know, gifts to the world to help others and create a source of income. And then go, okay, now that you have this income, I want you to be responsible for these items. And it's really age appropriate. If you're dealing with a teenager who has a car, they should be paying their own gas. They should be paying their own insurance. And if you're just starting out at this day, you know, starting this conversation and they're 18, it's going to be a little bit more of a fight because they're used to having things given to them. But it's a fight that's worth the fight. Because in the end, you will be building a stronger, wiser, independent person, because at the end of the day, we as parents want our kids to be able to be independent, take care of themselves, and, you know, be wise human beings. So teach them to pay those responsibilities. If they want to go out with their friends, it's on them. If they want to go buy $100 pair of jeans, which, explain to them that makes no sense. But if that's their absolute mindset, you know, it's on you. It's on you.
I have a twofold question. One is, what age do you recommend kids actually start making their own money? And after that, what about the parent that says, my kids are in so many activities and that's important, you know, sports and music and volunteering and stuff like that. So they don't have time for a job. I'd rather them do the other stuff.
Yeah, great question. So the first answer to the first question would be, you can start to have your kids, and you're going to kind of laugh at this, but as young as they're receptive to it. So I've been involved with some families who at 7, 8 years old, the kid wants to earn a quarter for whatever. So you have them, you know, vacuum the house, or you have them clean up the dog poop, or, you know, you give them age appropriate chores, if you will, and they earn a dollar here, they earn a dollar there, you know, whatever it is. When they're 10, 11, 12, and they can start to, like my son, you know, like I said, did the dog walking service. He can, you know, mow lawns at, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. You can teach your kid to mow lawns. You can have your kids take out the neighborhood's trash cans. I mean, there's so many things that they can do that are simple that'll give them a few bucks in their pocket. It's teaching them a work ethic. It's teaching them a habit. It's teaching them the respect of, okay, I work this hard for this $2. I'm not going to spend it really fast because I worked really hard for this. And it reinforces that mindset of, you know, this is how hard it is to earn it. And this is why it's important for me to keep it or save it or spend it when it's appropriate. So that experience is a great lesson. And you can't talk to your blue in the face and try to explain this stuff. But until they go out and they earn their own money and they do the hard work to earn that $2, they're going to realize that, wow, that's $2. That was a lot of work. So that's important. So as far as your second question and activities, that is a very common issue. And I think it's important to find that balance. It's important for the kids to be involved with activities and sports, but it's also important to have this, you know, this life skill of learning to juggle several things and learning money. So there's always a time, there's always a way to squeeze in something, you know, find something that they can do, you know, one day a week that'll take them 10 minutes. But it gives them an opportunity to understand that I've got to squeeze this into my schedule because life is about just balancing schedules and cutting out perhaps something that I need to cut out, just like we as adults, you know, we can't do it all. We have to go, you know what, I've got to say no to that because I just can't make that happen. I've got to make this a priority. So yes, it's important to have these activities, but there may be a hard decision to pull something back. But it's also very easy to incorporate something very simple, again, something once a week for, you know, 10 minutes or half an hour, whatever, and they can make that time happen. Just like they make time for their homework, they make time to, you know, go to church or, you know, whatever it is that they have to do. And on that note, it's important to teach them to give back as well, because that's very important. Mm-hmm. So you've got to just make that time. And it's a balancing act. It could be, you know, a little bit struggle at first because it's all new. But the life skill of not just the money piece, but the life skill of just knowing how to juggle life is going to be important.
Well, and you just mentioned there, you know, juggling things too. It might not be that they work during the school year. Like my girls did not usually have regular jobs during the school year, but they knew that during the summer they needed to earn enough money to cover their expenses during the school year.
Yeah.
So we knew not to sign up for a bunch of summer activities because they needed to work. Or when those smaller opportunities like dog sitting or something like that came up, they learned to grab those and grab them quickly. I like that. Yeah. And I like this idea that, yes, the activities are important, but they aren't everything. And I think that for parents, we can be part of the problem there. Do you see parents doing that, being part of
the
problem?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of parents are living vicariously through their kids. and the unfortunate thing is they're overscheduling these kids. They create a lot more stress for these kids because they have a hard time when they're so engrossed in other activities, just juggling their schoolwork and their homework. And it just, it creates for late nights and cranky mornings and all that. So, yeah, you know, you've got to choose your battles, if you will, and decide which activity is really that important. Because at the end of the day, I would love to take drum lessons and piano lessons and an art class and do all this stuff. But the reality is I've got responsibilities and I can't do all that and still go to work and, you know, bring a paycheck home and all that stuff. So it's okay for we as parents to say no to our kids. And that, I think, is hard for a lot of parents, just to say, sorry, honey, this is not going to work in our schedule. Perhaps next semester, maybe next semester you can cut out this, you can do that. But no, we can't do all of this because your responsibility is school and your responsibility is, again, age appropriate. You've got these expenses, so you've got to figure out a way to make, you know, those expenses get paid for if they're, you know, an older child. But yes, I'm seeing parents all the time overcommit their kids. It's crazy.
Well, and it's interesting what you learn about your kids when you step back and allow them to feel just that little bit of financial pressure to make a choice. Mm-hmm. Of how do I want to spend this money? When mm-hmm. my girls were young, they loved horseback riding and they took horseback riding lessons. And this was really important to them. Well, we had a change in family. My husband decided he didn't want to be an engineer anymore. That changed our income. And so we talked to the kids and said, you can't both keep riding anymore. So let's look at some options. And we came up with three choices. And we said, mom and dad can afford half of what we were paying. So we can talk to the instructor and see if she'll let you alternate weeks. Or you can both keep going, but you guys have to pay for the other part because they both had some money they had been left by a grandparent who had passed away. And I don't even remember now. I think the third choice was probably that they could quit or something like that. I thought for sure that they would have used this money that was just this, you know, gift to them to cover their lesson. And they decided to alternate. They only wanted lessons that mom and dad would pay for. And then when they got old enough, they started working for the instructor to pay for the extra lessons, but they didn't actually have to come up with the cash. You know, they put in the time taking care of the horses and getting the rocks out of the field and all that stuff. But it was just my real point about that is this idea that as a mom, I learned that I was wrong about what my kids really needed or even really wanted. And by opening that up and saying, no, this, you know, you have to deal with this. Same thing with cars. We didn't buy our kids a car. We did buy a third car and we said, okay, you know, mom and dad are buying this car, but during the winter, we put one of our cars in storage. And during the summer, because they were both working, then we said, hey, you guys are both working. We have this car here so that you can get to work and things and people or people can drive you to work and whatever. So you guys pay the gas and the insurance. But they only had to do it during that time when they were employed because we didn't have them have jobs during the school year. So there are lots of adjustments we can make as parents to help them.
Absolutely. And I love that story. You gave them the choice to make a decision as far as the horseback riding goes, and you empowered them with that choice. And they, you know, that was their decision. What a great life lesson for them, really. That was a huge gift that you gave them. And yeah, oftentimes we as parents do make assumptions on, you know, particular desire. We have these preconceived notions that, oh, they're going to want this or that, or, but it's important to involve them. And that's, again, where having a conversation, you had that conversation because of your husband's job situation, but that conversation should happen all the time, you know, even without financial issues. I have people that I've worked with that are extremely wealthy and could simply give their children whatever they wanted, but are choosing to give their children a bigger gift, which is, no, you can't have this, even though I can afford to give it to you very, very easily. You need to go out and figure out a way to make it yourself. And that is a huge, huge, huge blessing. So, you know, kudos to you for giving them that choice, and kudos for them for thinking about it and making that decision.
So, Patty, what about allowance? What do you say about that?
Yeah, that's a good one. I've always had a really strong opinion. So no. no allowance, and I'll kind of explain my take on that. You know, you and I work, and we have to go to the market, right? And we have to go get groceries, and we have to make dinner, and we have to pay our bills, and we have to, you know, maybe clean our house, or we have to, you know, whatever. We have all chores in being a part of this team here at the house. So my opinion is that our kids should not be paid to fix their bed, clean up their room, do chores that are just their responsibility for being part of this household. So no, I do not, you know, I don't get an allowance for going to the market and paying my bills, and they shouldn't get an allowance. Having said that, I think it's important that they have some funds so they can learn how to manage it. So give them the ability to earn extra money by doing things that you would pay for someone else. So for example, if, you know, they want to wash your car, you give them, you know, $5 to wash the car. If you want to have them clean the bathrooms, or give them a chore that they don't have normally. I'm not sure what your responsibilities are for your kids, but something that they don't normally do, make them do it and agree upon a price. I had one gal, I thought it was brilliant. She, on her refrigerator, she took like clips, and she would put like a dollar bill or a $5 bill or whatever hanging by these various clips with certain dollars hanging from them with the chore attached. So they knew if they, okay, I mow the lawn, I get $5. And there was a, you know, a little note, mow the lawn, and then with the $5 bill right there. And so the kid can decide, okay, I want to do this or I want to do that, and I get this much money. And I thought that was very clever.
I love that idea.
Yeah. I think that was fantastic. But it gives them the idea. It gives them the choice. It's in their hands to make that decision. And there's the money right then and there. They can take it after they finish the chore. So again, it's teaching them how to work for money, because nobody gets money for nothing. And an allowance, in my opinion, is getting money for nothing.
So if we've been giving our kids allowance, what do we do?
I guess it depends on your situation, but I would say, again, have that conversation, say, we're going to have some changes around here, and just go through what kind of what I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. We all have responsibilities. We all run this household together. We're all a team. And, you know, I'm going to expect these things to be done from you, you know, fixing your bed, cleaning your room, doing the, you know, your dishes or whatever it is that you have them do to keep their part in the home. I will not be paying you an allowance, but I will give you an opportunity to earn extra money with various chores. So if you decide that you want to earn extra money, here's some opportunity. So they you're not cutting them off financially. They just have to work harder, which is all what we do in life.
Right. So if you're listening right now and you know a parent of someone that has like a young kid, make sure they listen to this episode so that they don't have to backtrack.
Yeah. Make the changes early. I remember when I was young, my parents never gave us any allowance. There was five of us, I think I mentioned. And very, very young, I think I was probably 8 or 9 years old, we lived up in the hills. We were about 3-4 miles away from any market or any type of stores. So I couldn't get to the store, and I couldn't walk anywhere to do anything. So I thought, gosh, you know, all my neighbors and friends in my neighborhood can't do this either. And I have a terrible sweet tooth. I love candy. So I would go to the store and I would buy like several candy bars, and I would sell them to my neighborhood kids. And then I graduated to ice cream bars. And so I had this little store in my garage, which my parents had an extra refrigerator. So I kept everything in there. And I had this little store where people can come and buy candy and ice cream from me. So I think I bought it for a nickel and, you know, made them pay a dime or whatever it was way back in the day. But I started my little, you know, creative process of making money. And it forces you to be creative, and it forces you out of your comfort zone of, gee, how can I make money in this situation? So you find a need, you fill it, and you do it. And it was fantastic.
Well, and I like the encouraging kids to look at those business concepts. When my kids were younger, I think they're around, I don't know, I'm thinking 5 and 7 or so, our subdivision had a garage sale every year. And it was, so, you know, it was really, really busy. They decided one year that they were going to sell lemonade. You know, they're going to do a lemonade stand. Actually, they were even younger. I think they were like 4 and 6 when they started that. So they started the lemonade stand. Well, that went over really well. So the next year they got smart. They did pop and popcorn. They made like $200 in one morning, 4 hours.
Wow. Nice.
Because popcorn was cheap, you know, and that was even after their terrible, so we won't think it's terrible, Patty. Their mother, who, you know, has that entrepreneurial mindset, I made them buy their supplies from me too. I'm like, okay, I'll loan you the money to buy your supplies. Nice. You have to pay that back just so they would understand how the real world works. And then the next year they added in hot dogs. So
I love it.
But it is, it's that just that idea of showing them. Although I will admit here too that we did give our kids an allowance when they were little. Part of that was because I was a stay-at-home mom and I got an allowance. My husband got an allowance. It was just, we took kind of the same approach that you talked about, Patty. We said, everybody lives in this house. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to contribute. Everybody contributes in their own way. Dad goes off to work and earns the money for us to pay for all of this stuff. And so we all get some money to spend on whatever we want. And they were really little. So they got, you know, a quarter a week or something crazy that they had to then put into charity and saving and spending money and stuff. But, but we went with that same principle, you know, okay, so dad's doing this. Well, that means we need to take care of the house. We got to do the housework because he's out doing that piece. So we have to do this piece. And then we barely ever raised it. I think they never got higher than $1 a week. And they hit a point where, you know, they were still little kids where we said, you know, sorry, that's all there is. You, if you want more, you have to earn it.
Nice.
So, you know, the guilty secret, we gave an allowance, but
that's okay. That's all good.
Hey, I still get an allowance from myself in my own business.
There you go. There you go. You work hard, you play hard.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But let's go there for a second too, Patty. All right. This, you know, this all sounds great and fine and dandy, but part of the reason that I went, hey, you know, we're going to give these kids an allowance. We're not going to say, oh, you got to work for your money, with, because I would have felt like a hypocrite in that I wasn't working for my money. I got it from my husband's paycheck. So what if you're a parent who's listening and you don't have money skills yourself? What if, you know, you are drowning in debt, or you are living paycheck to paycheck, or you can just never find the money for the thing that you want to do? What if you don't understand, you know, debit and credit? What should we do?
Well, it's more common than we realize, that picture you just painted. And it's really important to set the ego aside, if you will, and reach out for help. There's a lot of help out there that can walk you through just taking, you know, for starters, taking a hard look at the habits that you have. And this looks, and this comes back to, you know, why am I in debt? What am I spending money on? What am I buying? I talk about a spending tracker. You know, for 2 weeks, put down everything that you buy, from your bottle of water to your coffee to lunch out or whatever. And after a couple of weeks, you look back and you realize how much money you've spent on food, on just things that could have very easily been avoided. Taking a hard look at, you know, the retail therapy that we do, for lack of better words. What's behind that? What is it that we're struggling with? What, and we all have things we struggle with. We're always, you know, life can be challenging sometimes. And sometimes going out and buying a new, you know, pair of shoes or new earrings or something that just makes us feel good, gives us a little temporary, this makes me feel good. This is good. I deserve to have this. And we all do deserve to have those things, but we deserve to be financially free and financially, you know, have peace of mind. So we kind of go deep when I'm working with clients on the financial coaching side as to what's behind the spending, what got us into this debt in the first place. The academics of money smarts is really quite simple. I mean, there's many books. I'll do a shameless plug. My latest book is all about a lot of what you just described, but it's very easy to learn debit card versus credit card and what that means. It's very easy to learn how the power of compounding interest works. And if I just set aside extra $50 a week, what that would mean to myself in 10 years from now. It's very easy to learn how to balance a checkbook if anyone's doing that anymore. It's easy to learn how to invest and learn about mutual funds. I mean, those are just simple academics. Truly, those things are not difficult. It's just unknown because this is not familiar. But once you learn it and you understand it, it's full. The bigger factor that haunts us is our money mindset and why we do what we do. What makes us do the spending? What makes us get into debt? Why can't we save? Why can't we set up an automatic saving plan? We all have gifts, and I'll go back to the earning money piece. We all have gifts and talents. We all have skills that we can use. And if you make a list of all the things that you're good at, there's a way to create a business from those skills and talents. I mean, the internet has opened up endless opportunities for people to make money. There's so many things that people can do. And there's ways to bring in funds if that's what your goal is. But again, the academics of money in itself, start small, take baby steps, be kind to yourself. If you never were taught it from your family, don't beat yourself up over it. It's just you never were taught it. Now it's time to go to school and learn about it. But it's just making that decision that, you know what, I don't want this anymore. I want to be financially free. I deserve to feel good about this, and I'm going to do something about it. So it's a choice and it's a decision.
Interesting. So basically, if we're in that place, forget about the kids for a minute and look at ourselves. I love what you said. You said set aside our ego and reach out for help. And I'm kind of curious, just, you know, what your opinion is why. I think there's a lot of shame around money issues. And I'm just kind of wondering if you have some insight into why that is, why we're afraid to reach out for financial help.
You know, I think it's, I don't know if it's that we have a shame attached to it. I think the ego is fragile with anything that makes us look inferior to anybody else. You know, we tend to compare ourselves to others, not just financially, but physically. You know, if you're struggling with losing 20 pounds or 30 pounds and you look at somebody who's, you know, thin and healthy, there's that, I don't feel good about myself. If you're in a situation, you know, where you're in debt and you look at someone who seemingly is not in debt and they're financially, you know, well off, you think, what am I doing wrong? Or somebody in the workplace, why do they have that job? I think in life, human nature is to make comparisons. And that's really unfortunate in itself, because I believe we are all imperfectly perfect. And I think that we all are blessed with certain gifts and talents, and whether we tap into them and utilize them is up to us. I think many of us don't realize how powerful we are and what we can do. And again, that comes from a lot of the mindset. That comes from a lot of the work that has to be done on a personal level. You know, what stories were we told when we were young? Were we encouraged to step out of our comfort zone and told that we were, you know, our parents told us that they were proud of us? I mean, there's so many, I mean, this can go deep into psychology, but I think that there's so much that plays a part in us not feeling good about ourselves, not just financially. I think the world in general just doesn't talk about money. It's not a topic. I actually had a meeting this morning with a financial planner that I work with, and he was talking to me about some of his clients who, between husband and wife, they don't talk to each other. One of their clients, the husband just passed away, and the wife had no idea where any assets were, what debts they had, how much, she didn't even know how much they had. And they just never talked about it. And it wasn't a bad thing. He was smart enough to leave her, you know, in good hands, but it just wasn't discussed. So I know I'm going on a tangent here a little bit, but the point is, we have to just realize that this is a subject, like many other subjects, that can be uncomfortable. And it's about just getting comfortable. And it comes down to a choice. Again, it's a choice. It's like, I am going to make the decision today that I do not want to feel like I don't know about money, and I'm going to learn about it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my power back, and I'm going to spend the next 6 months getting educated.
Right. And I think just allowing yourself to go, I don't have to be perfect when it comes to money. And if you're in a, you know, relationship where you're sharing finances and everything, yes, it can be uncomfortable to kind of air the way that you spend, because that can say a lot about what's going on in your head. And we tend to be a little more private about that. I know I don't always like to tell my husband if I went on, like you said, retail therapy, because he'll be like, why did you buy that or whatever? And, you know, not talking about it is what got us into trouble, because he and I both were on different pages and our priorities were different. So when you talk about getting the family on the right page and that whole money mindset, it does also become a little of a vulnerability thing. And you have to be okay with that, because money often is the thing that highlights whatever's going on inside of us. And so I think that's why it becomes this difficult thing to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it does go deeper. And I'll use the analogy I just mentioned, and that is those people trying to lose weight. Oftentimes there's, and I'll speak for myself, when I'm nervous or just anxious or just feeling unhappy or I'm struggling with something with work or something, I tend to eat. I munch. Like I told you, I love candy. I still love candy. And, you know, I do probably more snacking and I don't want to call it, it's not a binge at all, but it's like I will sit and munch on something and eat something more times out of just stress or nerves than I do because I'm hungry. So if somebody is struggling with, you know, losing weight, oftentimes it's okay, I've got to look at deeper than this. What's going on with me where I can't lose this weight? Mm-hmm. Do I realize that what I'm eating unhealthy, you know, that's hurting me and my ability to, you know, grow old and see my grandkids? Why aren't I exercising? I know it's good for me. I know taking a walk is really good for me. Why can't I do it? So it's important to kind of go deeper into that. And sometimes that's very uncomfortable and it's painful sometimes, depending upon what someone's dealing with from a past issue. And again, we're going deep into the psychology realm here, which I don't want to go deep into, but that's playing a part. That definitely plays a part in why we do what we do, whether it's money related or weight related or, you know, within relationships or everything else.
All right. So while we're working on our adult money mindset and actual spending and saving and everything, what about our teens? What do we do during that time period while we're figuring it out?
I would say that be honest with your kids and say, you know what, here's something that I'm not really at a place where I'm comfortable with. So I'm going to really take it upon myself to learn more about this, because it's important to me. It's important for you. It's important for the house. And it's a life skill that I want to be better at. So would you like to join me on this journey of education? Here's what I'm going to be doing, and involve them and learn together. Take, you know, buy the books, read them together, watch the videos, do whatever you have to do. Take classes. There's all kinds of different classes around the community that teaches you financial information. So learn together, and it's going to send a message to your teen. Well, several messages. One is it's going to get them on board financially as well. But more importantly, it's going to show that, you know what, mom and dad are vulnerable too. And in that vulnerability, you're allowing them to be vulnerable. You're allowing them to show, you know what, I don't need to be perfect. I'm still learning. My parents are still learning. I'm still learning. It's okay if I don't know something. So you're sending a message to your kid that it's okay not to know everything. And it's an opportunity for them to realize that mom and dad are trying to get better, and I deserve to try to get better too. So it's a really powerful, because in that vulnerability is power. I think those who show vulnerability are the really more powerful ones. It's those that pretend to be all knowing and have it all together that it's hard to relate to. So being that vulnerable parent is actually very empowering for your kids.
I can't agree more with that, Patty, because my kids, the lessons that they have taken in and implemented in their life, they will laugh and say, yeah, mom, it's because you told us how much you screwed up. And they watched and, you know, they saw the struggles that I had or overcome an issue or a challenge. And I shared that with them and let them know that I wasn't perfect and I screwed it up and I'm doing what I can. And, you know, it's interesting to watch them now, because they'll hold my feet to the fire and say, you know, you did, you were so adamant about taking care of yourself. And then when work got busy, you started with your gummy bears. Sugar is my thing too, Patty. I get you. Yeah. Levels, anything. But it's, you know, but mom, you know, that's not going to get you what you want in the long run. And then I'm now able to hold their feet to the fire when I see them as adults making choices or not making choices. So that vulnerability piece, I think, provides that bridge that enhances and strengthens communication and helps you transition as your relationships transition. You know, as our kids get into college and they're taking more responsibility for their money and their personal being, by being vulnerable, they know that they can make mistakes and come to you and actually work through it with someone who is on their side. So, so powerful of that tip. I love it.
Yeah.
That's all right. Great. So I'm going to go back and hit just some of the high points to kind of bring us full circle here. So what happens is that parents don't have conversations with our kids about money. And so then they don't have the tools they need. So some of the topics that we should cover in conversation are credit versus debit cards, how they can make money, how to save money, how to spend money, what happens with compound interest. We need to talk to them also about like savings and checking accounts, but also that money mindset side and emotional spending and things along that line. We need to teach them the power of money, that basically what money does is it doesn't just let us buy stuff, that it gives us options and choices in our lives. And we just keep it simple and start this conversation. And if we haven't done it before, then just sit down and go, hey, you know, I want to make sure that I give you the life skills that you need. So I'm going to help you to be responsible for your own expenses. And then we can help them or talk to them about finding a job or creating a little business, but creating a way to make money and then understand what expenses they will be covering so they learn how to make choices. And this isn't necessarily easy to do, especially if you face money challenges yourself, but it's a fight that's worth the fight. And then there is that place where we go, well, as a parent, you know, they have to be a student and they have activities. And so we just need to remember that activities are important, but so are these life skills. So we have to let them struggle a little and figure out how to make sure everything can fit in. And Patty's answer on allowance is simple: no allowance. And if we as adults are having trouble with money, if we don't know what to do, if we're in debt, if we're just awash in concerns or issues, we just need to set our ego aside and reach out for help. Mostly the problems come in with understanding what's behind the spending and our own money mindset. And if we're in that place, then we can invite our teen to come on the journey with us and we can learn it all together. So loved the info, Patty. So for anybody who's going, okay, I want more info, I'm working with my teen on money, or I want more info for me and some help getting sorted out, what are the places that they can go to get that from you?
Well, there's my website, teenscashcoach.com, and teens is plural, cashcoach.com. There's some information there. I have several books there in a online money school that might be helpful. Coaching as an adult, wanting to get coaching, I have a website starting over with patty.com. It's Patty with an I. And they can there, again, see the books. I also do a radio show here locally, so all the radio shows are on that website. They can go to the media tab. And so there's lots of great topics that I have speakers come in. And it's kind of dedicated for those that are going through divorce or recently divorced or lost their spouse. So it's kind of starting over. But a lot of the topics are very applicable to those who are just starting from scratch when it comes to, you know, finances or life in general. So that's a great site. And there's some coaching information there as well. So those two can help you, you know, get a taste of whether you're dealing with the adult or the teen.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I want to thank our listeners for being here and being part of the Mighty Parenting community. If this is your first time tuning in, we want to say welcome and invite you to go to mightyparenting.com to see all the support that we have for you. And as you know, if you've been a listener for a while, we want to make sure to remind you that you are a mighty parent. And Sandy and I will see you next week.